the whole process end to end. Again, it's a single engine. It will take care from data ingestion, data cleansing, building the model, and then analyzing bias and stress tests fully in a fully automated fashion.
Welcome to AI for Pharma Growth, the podcast from pioneering pharma artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all those in biopharma, from startup biotech right through to big pharma. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech related to help pharma execs to navigate through the and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow and get real-world results.
Today's episode is about how to build an AI solution with one click. For many years, building AI solutions has been a laborious process with weeks to months of data cleaning, sorting, structuring, connecting the data, building the models, creating the interfaces. But for many types of AI projects, that's about to change. Today, I'm with Philippe Chambardel, the founder of Wand.ai, which was founded with a really clear mission to enable everyone, regardless of their technical skills, to be able to solve complex business problems and create AI-driven business impact quickly and intuitively. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Philippe. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Could we start with you telling me a bit about your background and how you got into this and what led you to found Wand.ai?
Of course. So I was CEO of SmartStream, a leading player in the post-trade space in capital markets. And we saw firsthand how robotic automation could help our clients. Then went on to work in the corporate development for a very large core banking software company. And I was attempting to buy AI companies. And I found that the way the stack had been built was very siloed. It could only support a single use case. And the AI portion of the IP was minimal, talking 1 or 2%. So all these firms have spent enormous amount of time building infrastructure to support AI use cases, but it was really not scalable. And I told the board, listen, if we want to engage in this journey, we need to acquire or license an end-to-end AI framework. And I looked for a year, I couldn't find one. Mm-hmm. And starting to talk to a lot of clients and seeing that the tools that existed out there are great tools, but they are targeted data scientists mostly.
Yeah.
And the first problem with that is there are not enough data scientists to solve the world's AI problems. There's only a million of them. And they are billing business users. So we thought that taking care of business users was the utmost important. And the other issue with the tools that are existing out there, it took a long time and a team of people, 6 to 12 people to get a single use case running.
Yeah.
And an average time of 12 to 18 months and many, many millions of dollars to get a single use case. And then on top of that, according to Gartner, the success rate was very low, around 15%. So all these reasons, we thought with my co-founder that there had to be a better way.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's in companies, it's always the domain experts that know the business the best. And when
yes.
leveraging AI, they want to leverage AI, but they don't necessarily have the knowledge about the AI space or the tools. They don't know Python. They have access to a lot of data sitting in Salesforce, Zendesk, SAP, whatever it is, but mm-hmm. they don't have the tools to create predictive signals from that data. So they're kind of at a loss. And that's where Wand comes in. We build a framework that allows a non-technical user to build and deploy in production a completely new application, a new AI solution in a matter of hours versus 12 to 18 months for the rest of the market. And with a success rate of 97.4%. So we were very proud
wow.
of our stats. So we are creating a new benchmark, a new way to scale AI in enterprises and do that without any friction. We're really trying to help businesses, embrace the AI wave and the power of AI without having to wait, because waiting 12 to 18 months for any business is just way too
long. Way too long, yeah. So what kinds of things can Wand AI do? What kinds of AI challenges?
So it's
or business challenges, in fact.
So there's two aspects to one. So there's a large language model and there's predictive analytics. Mm-hmm. On the large language model, you can implement it on your private network, on your enterprise, and plug in any source you want. So all your emails, all your customer call notes, Salesforce, Zendesk, SAP, and you'd start asking questions like you would with ChatGPT, except that
it's a private. Yeah.
It's again a private version. I mean, it's not ChatGPT, but it's a private similar functionality to ChatGPT that you can apply against your data, but without any data leakage. Because the issue with ChatGPT is a great tool, but every query, easily reverse engineered.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of firms like JP Morgan and others have banned the use of ChatGPT, because exposing private data to the world is obviously not acceptable.
I think that's something that like a lot of people don't realize, that anything you put into ChatGPT goes straight into the OpenAI database and is then public, really. So for pharma, that's a big compliance problem for sure.
And it's both the data and the queries. So this one is worse. So
yes,
So knowing which question you're asking could be a serious competitive disadvantage.
Yeah, and so what WandAI has as well is large language models, which is what ChatGPT and things like that are built. They're large language models as well. So that's.
That's why we have the large language model that's private large language model that is exploiting both the internal data from the client, as well encapsulating the web knowledge onto the language, plus the ability to do predictive analytics.
Yeah.
So you can use a large language model, for example, to understand customer sentiment or analyzing the feedback on the from drug tests, whatever it is. Or sharing bone marrow transplant data, and then you can summarize all that data, which is mostly textual, and create a new feature that you can use to predict events. So it could be a call to action, it could be predictive analytics. So you have two aspects: you get a large language model to really understand and enrich your data and ask any questions, and then the predictive aspect where you can build very, very quickly ways to predict which clients are going to churn, do lead scoring, analyze compliance issues, or predict compliance issues. On the human resources side, you can look at all the emails and all the Slack messages and predict which employees might leave the firm in the next couple of months.
Yes.
So it's really, it's a horizontal platform. So it's everything from finance, financial forecasting to supply chain, analyzing supply chain risk, for example, make sure that none of the suppliers who are at risk to go bankrupt, doing synthetic scores. On the sales side, we do, again, lead scoring, doing also marketing campaign optimization, and HR, as I mentioned, employee retention, predicting churn. And then operations, manufacturing, everything around quality control and process optimization. So it's really very, very broad. And we don't have a very brilliant model. The way one works, you plug your data in a number of sources. It could be, databases, applications, external sources. You define your goal, press run, and then you get the results in a few hours. So we have a concept of AI for AI, where on the fly, we can determine what is the best AI model for your use case, and then build a model, train it, stress test it, and deploy in production fully in a fully automated fashion.
Wow. And so how do you keep it private data when it's an online platform? How do they make sure that the data is private and in their own environment?
So we have three flavors. So the SaaS version, no enterprise would want to have for example, BI data uploaded SaaS version. So we also offer VPC, so virtual private cloud, on-premise. And for most of our clients with sensitive data, on-premise or VPC is really the preferred choice. So there's no possibility of leakage of data or models or the insights.
Nice. That's really cool. And what kinds of data can you put in? Obviously, language data, because you've got a large language model. I assume numerical data. Can you put in image data? What kinds of data can you put in?
The answer, not yet. So that's probably a next year event to do images and videos. But
okay.
we do obviously text on any language, mm-hmm. or numerical data, as you say, but also time series.
Okay, great. So you've got the time series, cool. And so does it clean, sort, and structure the data itself without you having to do anything?
That's right. So it's really end-to-end. So the injection part, so when you plug a source into WAND, it will analyze the data, analyze the quality of data, and then cleanse it, enrich it, and create data model on the fly. So all that is fully automated. If we find some issues, that we have 41 models to do the cleansing and enrichment just on that piece of the data processing. If we find that we're not capable of solving the problem, we'll highlight issues to the user and ask them to sort out the issues themselves. So if we see that there's a field that should have numerical data on these alpha characters there, we'll highlight the data that's problematic and tell them to fix it on the fly. But that's really for exception management. But the bulk of the process is fully automated.
Wow. And what about bias in data? Can it detect bias, or would you need a human to look at that before you put the data in?
So it does. So it would detect. So this way to answer the question. So the first aspect is in the build and training of the model.
Yeah.
And there we have the peer-to-peer knowledge sharing, where we can tell, you want to use gender or postal code for this application, and it's either illegal or just a bad idea.
Yeah.
And we flag it, and then the enterprise can decide what they want to do, or they can enforce a policy where they would prevent it from happening in the first place. So that's a peer-to-peer knowledge, where we would flag features that are not acceptable.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, when the model is in production, we analyze if there's any kind of drift, or if the data needs to be retrained, or if there's retraining, there's bias introduced, that's also fixed by the platform automatically. So the whole process end-to-end, again, it's a single engine that will take care from data ingestion, data cleansing, building the model, and then analyzing bias and stress tests fully automated fashion.
So impressive. And so you basically put the data in and then just tell it what you want to find, and it will build, it'll do all the data cleansing, combining, create the models, build the models, run the models.
That's right. So really end-to-end. An added benefit of having a single platform is versus other vendors have a set of services that do, you know, you have to couple together half a dozen to a dozen different services. Here, because of a single platform, the client gets full transparency and explainability of what's going on inside the machine.
Yeah.
So there's no concern about transparency versus other system. When you patch together different services, each service doesn't really know what the prior service has done.
Yeah.
So I would say the explainability and transparency for us is in that case questionable.
Yeah. And it validates the models as well, right?
That's right. The validation is done continuously. So that's on the production side. And again, if we see that the shape of data or the data sources have changed radically or enough that we need a retraining, we'll tell the user that it's time to retrain the model, and then that will be user triggered.
And what accuracy did you say you had? It was 90.
So it's not exactly the accuracy, it's a success rate.
Oh, success rate, that's right.
No, the accuracy depends on the
quality. On the data,
case, I mean,
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so, but it's a success rate. So according to Gartner, the success rate for the AI project is 15%, 1-5.
And that's the same that McKinsey said, 85% fails. So that's very similar,
that's right.
Yeah.
Actually, MIT Sloan says they say it's more than 80% failure rate. So it's not a good state. And with us, our success rate is 97.4%.
Really nice.
So we're very proud of that fact. We also produce results that there are 99.9% at the top in any kind of data science competition. So not only we compress time, we produce state-of-the-art results, and it can be done by somebody who knows how to use Excel or Power BI. So zero technical knowledge is required to build and deploy an AI solution.
And I like the use case you gave before. It's really interesting because I was with a client recently and they had a whole team of data scientists. And one of the models that they'd created was predicting which sales reps were going to leave the company. And they were doing that with good accuracy, but there were data scientists doing these models and it took time. Whereas it sounds like your one.ai could actually do that in hours and predict exactly which sales reps would be leaving based on the data.
Exactly. And then the, you don't want your staff to be leaving, especially when a lot of the interaction with clients in their heads. So all that knowledge, I mean, if you're leaving, I mean, all that knowledge is gone from the company. So there's tremendous drop of quality of service that could be flagged here. And we can also do the same thing with customers. Which customer is going to leave, or another use case that we found is if you have 100,000 customers and each month you have a renewal, whatever, maybe 5% of them have to renew, and we can look at the traffic, the email traffic, on the messages between the client and the firm, and analyze if there's some red flags. That maybe the tone of the emails and the frequency of emails decreasing, and now customer success should be all over this, you know, bottom 20% clients, and they renew. Another use case that was quite fascinating, that was highlighted by a client of ours, where they found that the churn rate was impacted by the level of the English language of the call agent. And they say, with the LLM, can you give me the level of sophistication of the call agents? And we did that really in 1 second. We just asked the question, what is the level of sophistication?
Yeah.
And we got the answer literally across millions of call notes. And now they know what to do, right? They can send these call agents to English to improve the English.
Yes.
And it's something that all these customer success, customer sentiments, you know, analysis of that kind of data, which is most, I mean, a combination of textual data and numerical data, it's, I mean, the power of the LLM is immense. And we discover new use cases every day. But in a customer success world, when people use just numerical data, we found that the classification is really not reliable, because it's 1 to 5 and you see clients who supposed to be very happy, they're actually at the opposite end, and vice versa. So it's really, it's a combination of text analysis and the predictive nature of one that allows to really be on top of the level of satisfaction and engagement with the clients.
That makes sense, because I think that text, the numerical data would just give you the what, but it's not giving you the why, whereas the text data is giving you the why behind it. Interesting. I saw the Wandi feature on your website, which looked quite cool. Can you put something into Wandi, like I'm a pharmaceutical marketer with a new drug to launch. What problems can I solve with Wand? Something like that. What would it come up with?
Actually, Wandi is really good at that. So that's one of the first mission of Wandi is to let people who don't necessarily know what AI can do for them. Because ChatGPT came about, and everybody gets really super excited and worried at the same time. Am I going to have a job? Is AI going to affect me? And is my company in fact impacted? And how can I gear up so that I can benefit from AI?
Yeah.
So we found that there was a lot of confusion what AI can do for that person.
Yeah.
So with Wandi, you can ask free-form questions. As you say, I'm an analyst in a pharma company. And here the problem was, so what can one do for me?
Yeah.
And they say at least 20, and we'll give them 20 potential use cases.
Oh, wow.
And then the second level of confusion is, what kind of data you need to bring to the table to make one?
So you could even ask it, what data is the right data to solve that problem? That's amazing. That's
exactly.
So cool.
You ask one, say, for this use case, what data should I bring? And then list whatever, and then you can drag that data set on, or you can ask the LLM, where do I find that data?
Yeah.
Is it in SAP? Is it in Salesforce? Is it in Zendesk?
You've really just taken all the whole stuff, everything's already included. That's so cool.
The goal was to make a domain expert really be super efficient at their job and eliminate all the the hard work of, you know, getting data from the inside, getting from data from the outside, all that gigantic data set that contains a lot of signals, but the data is too large, I mean, too big to be comprehended by the human brain. But to really make it super easy and quick to get to prediction, right? So if you can test an idea and 2 hours later you have a solution on your screen versus waiting 12, 13 months.
Amazing.
That changes everything for the business. So that people can be so efficient, and a lot of the work that is not productive work, you know, data gathering, testing models in Excel. I mean, we can really compress and get people to really focus on the mission and be a lot more efficient in their jobs.
It's so cool. How long did it take you to develop it?
So we launched the company a year and a half ago. The alpha was released in October, and with 1,500 people signed up in 6 days, and we stopped there.
Yeah.
The beta was released in December with 30,000 people come to the site. And released the 1.0 version a couple of months ago, and we have today 9,000 users. So it's really exciting.
Yeah.
We have also on LinkedIn, we have the fastest growing enterprise AI community, close to 100,000 followers now. So we're doing product-led growth where everything is self-service. People can come to the site, go to app.on1.ai, try it out on their own, and then plug their data on. And of course, it has to be no PII data. It has to be fully, fully anonymized, and then test it out. And then when they see the results, they can swipe a card or call us up. But it's fully, even the onboarding is automated.
So amazing! Have you had any life science clients yet?
We are conducting some pilots in a life science world. A lot of it has to do with. Predictive medicine. So if you have patients at risk, saying, hey, you have to warn these patients next few weeks, or as I mentioned before, doing a research sharing across, for example, hospital networks, where the research, I mean, the doctors don't need, I mean, they don't know AI, they don't know Python.
Yeah.
But with one, all of a sudden they can, I mentioned the example of bone marrow data, they can start sharing massive data sets across hospital networks and understanding trends, which is, I think, really, truly exciting. So we turn this research scientists into super data scientists without them knowing anything about data science, but allow them to be to have, I mean, very high power, pretty of analytics at hand.
Wow, really impressive. Could you maybe outline one or two case studies from clients that you've had of what kind of challenge they had, what they were doing before they came to you, and then what kind of results they got from your platform?
Sure, absolutely. So a couple of examples. So one is in the compliance space, where you're trying to understand who the client is, right? So the whole KYC process, and we're able to compress the onboarding time by more than 95% by doing the collection predictive analysis of both internal and external content very, very quickly. Very well with the results were spectacular in terms of compressing time and compressing of the cost to onboard clients.
Yeah.
The other one has to do with sales. I mean, the ability to predict which clients are going to churn. Analyze the customer sentiments, and as I mentioned, if you have a renewal coming up, make sure that you know the clients are less happy or are being taken care of.
Yeah.
Also, I think so something that has a lot of spectacular results. It's really because as you know, I mean, it's better to preserve an existing client than to go after a brand new client. I mean, the cost of acquisition new client drops to the cost of keeping a client happy and As I think everybody knows, a happy client tends to buy more from you, right, than an unhappy client. So,
made me think about a use case for pharma, which is we did a project a few years ago, which was predicting which patients would be non-adherent to the drug. And it was a drug where the nurse came to the house and helped them with the injection, et cetera. But it makes me think, because a lot of that analysis was language, because it was looking at the nurse notes data, the call center data. So one could actually do that kind of thing really quickly, because you could put the nurse notes in there, you could put the call center data in there, and it could analyze very quickly which patients it would predict would be non-adherent, becoming non-adherent soon, couldn't you? That would be a good use case.
I think it would be an excellent use case. Also, it should be noted you can do it in any language, right?
So yeah.
You could analyze data from whatever, France, for example,
yeah,
and have somebody in a center in India analyze it in Hindi. I mean, it's completely free form, right? So yeah. I think the ability to analyze that data is a superb application for AI, if we want.
Yeah, and then what about, so for the software as a service, I guess you just sign up on the website and you can just do it. But for the enterprise version where you've got the data in their virtual private network, what's the process of the company coming to you and signing up, and how quick is that to set up?
As you say, on SaaS, you can come to app.one.ai, sign up, and you get 25 hours of compute for free. You can try it out. After that, we don't charge an upfront license. We charge on compute, like a cloud vendor. So yeah. That means we charge on success, right? So if it works, yeah, you pay us. If it doesn't work, you can do something else. In terms of the onboarding for VPC on premise, we run on Kubernetes, so it's really a super super easy implementation. And for the user, they only need the credentials to access to the data sets, so credential for Salesforce or Slack, and off they go. It's really just usually the password, get the tables you need, and then off you go.
And I can already answer my next question, which is, I was thinking, the costs compared with traditional, it must be dramatically lower because you are just using compute time.
That's right. So there's no millions or some cases tens of million dollars upfront licenses.
Yeah.
When you do that, it's such a huge leap of faith. You're forcing the client to be a pilot. So the client has to be a paid for pilot. So the client has to find the budget, and then they do pilots, and that takes 3 months. And then in the AI industry, you have around 2/3 of pilots do not turn into a sale. So it's super inefficient.
Yeah.
In our case, we don't charge upfront license. We charge on compute, so people can come to the website, try it out, and then it's $3 per compute hour, and then the client decides at what frequency they want to deploy a solution. So it's if it's fraud detection, probably real time would be a really good idea.
Yeah.
If it's churn prediction or predicting employee retention, maybe once a day, once a week is fine. So you really control your budget. I mean, on a very very fine grained basis.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm really, really impressed. I mean, when I came across this, I just found it really fascinating because you've really revolutionized the business user being able to be a data scientist in hours instead of months or years. So it's congratulations. It's a really impressive system. So
I appreciate that, Andre. And that's what we saw, that the business users wanted to control their destiny, right? They know what they want to build.
Yeah.
They have to choose to build it, and nobody wants to wait 12 months or 18 months for results.
Exactly.
So you do that, now you have to, you can build something and been up and running 4 hours. I mean, that completely changes the
question
on the scaling of AI. So I think it's really, really exciting.
It is. It's amazing. I'm so impressed. For anyone listening who's interested in finding out more about this, if you want to get in touch with Philippe and his team, you can go to wand.ai and get in touch, try it out, see what you think. And I think anyone trying it is going to be a convert. It's very impressive. Thank you so much for being on the episode today. And maybe we can do another one in the future where we look at different use cases for pharma.
Okay, I appreciate that, Andre. It's a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Pharma Growth. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your company, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating. Please make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.